We're doing our class on the Jewish home. We had discussed the last two classes. We had discussed the idea of writing notes, expressing appreciation, expressing love. I would like to add one more idea with regards to writing notes, and then we'll move forward. Sometimes there are things which we appreciate more after time. I'll give you an example. I brought something extraordinary to show you. I try to bring it almost every year. I started this when I was teaching my first class. Now, this goes back 20 years ago. I brought this to class. It doesn't always behave the way it should. But I've always found that when I bring this to class, it really makes the class different. Now, I brought it just for you guys, and you guys can show it. I understand. You guys can show it to your children, God willing, when you get married. But this is something which you can only show once. You have to. Okay. Now you guys probably understand. Okay, one second. I have to feed it. No, okay. You guys probably understand by now that my hand is empty, but. I've walked into class with this, like with my hands all cupped, and looking at them and treating my hand as though there was something inside, and held the class captive for 15, 20 minutes, over what was in my hand. And this is like older people, younger people. Did I record that class, right? Okay, what's my point, though? In all seriousness, sometimes the suspense is a tremendous benefit to what we do. So let's imagine for a minute that you got your wife a piece of chocolate. Not even a whole bar, not even a whole pack, one piece of chocolate. Imagine if on the front door you left a note that said, "I love you very much," and ... continuation in the fridge. She'd smile, take it to the fridge, go to the fridge, and then you have another note. And because I love you so much, I got you something very little, but that I hope you'll enjoy a lot. ... Continuation in the shoe closet. Now she goes to the shoe closet. You understand, you don't have to be a poet. It doesn't have to be sophisticated. It's like a game, but what you've done is you've taken one note, divided it, you've added a lot of excitement. If you want to, she has patience because each note is another reminder, he loves me. He loves me. He took the time to do this. The pasuk says, "Ve'el ishech teshukatech." God created the woman in a way that she has an intense desire to shuka, to feel wanted by her husband.
This is,
I said a different word.
Are you sure she wouldn't get like frustrated with that unless you really got her something good in the end?
I said you write in the note, "I got you something little." But what's big is the fact that you divided it over notes. You'll be more poetic. You'll write more. I don't think you could write 30 notes over a little piece of chocolate. You're right. I agree. You know, she goes all around the house and then she ends up with a little piece of chocolate. I'm not sure she's going to be so happy. I agree. That's obviously, you have to use your intelligence here. But at the same time, don't underestimate the value of suspense. No. Okay, four, fine. But you could do that 4 days in a row.
Depends on how many hiding spots you know.
I feel like eventually my wife would be like, "Okay, I'll just buy my own chocolate."
Well, if you write a note that's meaningful enough, like we discussed in the previous classes, the note carries more weight than the chocolate.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the question is what you wrote in the notes. So again, this is an excellent tool for expressing affection and heightening the excitement, because you're actually taking the time, you're making something special out of it, and you don't have to be around. Meaning if you end up leaving the house before your wife, you could leave her this whole trail without it. Women appreciate little things. Like if you go to the stationery store here, you'll see they have a bunch of stickers with smiley faces and hearts. And you buy a pack of like 5-10 sheets, and each sheet has 50 stickers, and it costs you 10 shekel, and it'll last you a year. And then you could put it on your notes. And again, to men, this is like a small thing. But to women, it's a bigger thing, because he thought of me and he added that little perk, that little sticker. Seems like nothing so major. And going back to our story from 2 weeks ago, if you would get such a note, you'd be quick to put it in the garbage, yeah, very nice, and move on with life. But the hurt means a lot. There was once a guy who came to me with marital issues, and I gave him a pack of notes and a pack of stickers. And he told me, funny thing, I have these stickers now everywhere I hung them up. I hung her up a note by the mirror saying, I love you, have a nice day. It's still there. She doesn't take it down. I put another one in front of the closet. I put another one in the kitchen. Now everywhere I go in the house, I have these notes. I said to him, and what happens when guests come to the house? He said, I blush and she smiles. You know, I'm not saying.
So it's doing its job.
What?
It's doing its job,
right?
She likes it. So that's
right?
Why she's not taking it down.
Right? Exactly. So this really brings us to the next point, which is about how we give compliments and how we give criticism. God willing, you'll all merit to have children, and you'll see that as children work to control themselves, not to wet their beds, they have accidents. And when a child gets up and he's wet, what a child's going to say is, the bed's wet. It happened, right? The bed's wet. My bed got wet. Or the bottle spilled. Notice how kids do that when it spills? We are less sensitive to this. So we ignore its importance. So imagine you just had a delicious supper. You'll say, supper was delicious. And if your wife burnt the toast, you'll say, you burnt the toast. You don't say, the toast was burnt and you made a great supper. No, we get personal when we have criticism. You burnt the toast. You messed up the calculation. You. Whenever we have criticism, it's very personal. It's you. Whenever we have compliments, it's very impersonal. Notice that, right? Supper was great. The house is very neat. The dishes are so clean. The house smells wonderful. I like that perfume. Do we ever say a personal compliment? You are a wonderful cook. The soup you made is excellent. Did you ever hear someone say a personal compliment? It's rare, but we have to switch it. Our criticism should be non-existent, but if you ever have to say something, try saying it the other way. Try. The toast is burnt. Instead of the meal was delicious, you made an excellent supper. Try it. And you'll notice how we don't make our compliments personal. And we should. And it's a world of a difference. Yes?
She would usually say, I'm sorry I burnt the toast. And you would say, it tastes good anyway. So don't worry about it. It's just a little thing.
Notice, it tastes good. Anytime we say something positive, we have a hard time being personal. And we have to work on it. We have to switch it.
I was trying to bring the other.
I understand.
Thing not to criticize her. I mean, if you want her to love you, you don't criticize her. You just feel that if she kind, If she can't cook, everything is good, no problem. If you want help, I'll help you. But if you need help, but usually you wouldn't say that because then she'll say, oh, you must be doing something wrong.
Look at Beis Yischaiel. The build-up. Eish Yischaiel Mimtza. As he built up, where does he end up? Rabos Bonos Asu Chayil Ve'at Alis Akulana. You, very personal. You are better than everyone else. Think about it. It's a style of speech that does not come naturally to us. Unfortunately, you see, even when people use the term love, they will say, I love you, that's been accepted. But then once they have to get more specific, they start beating around the bush. They become less and less personal. Yeah.
I talk about Shir HaShirim, I wrote something about. You are the most, the best, beautiful. But it's not true. There are others more. How we can say that? So how we can put together it? Anyway, it's written there. Maybe Tsunamit was the best in the world. Or maybe it was best from Shlomo, who was. How we say? Because it's also apply here. You are the best. Maybe you are the best for me, but then we go down in the compliment and what is. You are the best in the world, but how I understand that? If I understand, I can say.
I think there are many answers to that question. Just wondering if we have the time. And if it's worthwhile to explore a few and not the rest. Imagine you just married off your child. You and your wife are coming home from the wedding. It's 2:30 in the morning. You're both very tired because you worked very hard in all the preparations towards the wedding and then the wedding itself, and you're physically and emotionally exhausted. You walk into the house, you start talking, you sit down, and she falls asleep in the chair. And you get up, you tiptoe out of the house, you realize on the way home that the car is almost out of gas. You know that the next morning she has a very important teaching event. She has to go teach. She has to take the car a long distance. And chances are she won't have gas. You tiptoe into the car. You go. You fill up gas. You come back a half hour later at 3 o'clock. You're both going to have to get up at 6. You just gave up a half hour of your sleep in order to fill up the gas so that tomorrow morning she'll have the gas. And then you go to sleep. You get up the next morning. She charges out, you charge out. As she's driving, she suddenly realizes, wow, there's a full tank. And she can't believe you did that. And she sends you an SMS. You're amazing. You're the best. Do you start thinking, I'm not the best. Oh, come on. I just filled up her gas tank. What's the big deal? Is that what you think? Yes? I think most people don't. I think most people don't. I think people feel like that's an expression of how she feels.
Okay, but doesn't mean if she feels like that means that became true.
In her life, you are the best.
Yeah, that was the first sentence that I said.
No, my question is, do you really think when someone says you're the best, do you really think they mean to say there's no one better?
Yeah, literally.
If you say,
if it's metaphoric, then I don't have a problem.
Okay, so if that's the way you feel, so then what would be wrong with saying you're amazing?
No, but it's just metaphor, so then you can say a lot of things.
No, I'm saying, I think there are, here we're entering semantics a little bit, but I think a person should not say compliments that a person feels are completely false. So I think there are many compliments we can say where we won't run into that. To say you're amazing, You add so much light to my life. I'm so lucky I married you. That's all true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Best.
So don't say you're the best. There's so many compliments you could say without that. So if to you you'll feel like that's inaccurate, so don't say that. There's a lot of good stuff to say without that. Fine. That's maybe a discussion for a different time. Okay. We'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time.